to episode 41 of Running Matters. I'm known as Wolfie and I'm joined with my co-host today, Hattie. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Day off on Tuesday. Enjoying it.
Gotta love Tuesdays.
Yep.
So, only 6 weeks to Surf Coast Century now. How's it coming along?
Is that right? 6 weeks?
Yep.
I haven't been looking at the calendar closely enough.
Yep.
I think it's going okay. I got asked by a patient the other day if I was feeling a little bit sick, so that's usually a good sign that I'm starting to get fitter.
Good.
You lose a bit of fat around the face.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's the best compliment, isn't it?
That's right. Pumped.
You look sick. Thank you.
What about you? Going all right?
Yeah, going good, mate. Looking forward to it. One of the organisers sent me an email and said that they've got 300 entered the 100K and they've got 215 teams entered the 100K. Wow. Well over 1,000 people participating in the 100K. So
all on the back of us being ambassadors for the race.
Very much so.
Good.
So,
well played.
Yeah, yeah. So looking forward to it. If anyone wants the discount code for entering the race, they can send us a message and we'll send that to them. Our special guest today is Chris Truscott. Thanks for coming in today, Chris.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me. That's Surf Coast Century's one on the bucket list.
On the list?
It's on the list, so you'll have to tell me all about it.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
6 weeks to go.
Yeah.
No problem.
There's a little sand running out here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Down the beaches, so, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to start practicing soon.
We'll cover the sand later.
Yeah. So before we get into it, I'd like to thank our partners, Renala, Goo Energy, Guy Mialod Health, Surf Coast Century and Fractal Running Caps. I'd also do a shout out to Jimmy Carroll for helping us do the editing behind the sounds. Chris, you've got a long affinity with many of Sydney's iconic running events. You first completed Sydney's City to Surf when you were just 9 years old, running 63 minutes. In 87, at the age of 13, you ran 53 minutes. And you've completed every City to Surf since. So that's over 30 of them with a PB of 45. That's very impressive. I'm assuming you're racing this year.
Yeah. So what have we got, 10 days to go or thereabouts? So, going for 34, I think, number 34.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and by what I recollect, I think I've got the only record sub-50 streak in the race, but I'd like to sort of see if that if anyone else had that.
What
so I'm going for my 25th sub 50.
Wow, in a row.
In a row.
Wow, so, this year.
He just doesn't look old enough to run 34 City to Surf.
No.
Come on.
No, look, I have had a long affinity with it. Now I've got a mate of mine, Mike O'Mara, is trying to get me to take over his job organising all the guys onto the start line before I sort of turn around and take off. So
kind of, nice, relaxed start.
It's a good way. Yeah, well, it's a good way to keep my elite start forevermore.
Yeah.
So that's the one advantage. But, yeah, looking to sort of run around the 48 to 49. Yeah, 48 and a half, hopefully.
Wow, good luck with that.
Unreal.
That's amazing. Hopefully. Yeah, unreal. Running well. Your first marathon was the 93 Melbourne race, and you were just 18, and you ran a time of 3:13. You've gone on to compete in over 30 marathons, including Berlin, Chicago, Rotterdam, London, Tokyo, New York, and local races, Sydney, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Melbourne, and Canberra, with a PB of 2:29 in Berlin. All 29 subsequent marathons since your debut have been under 3 hours.
Yes, correct.
That's amazing. Yep,
so.
That is just, I can't get my head around that.
Ah, that's another impressive record.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah, you'll probably find that, you know, when you talk, you know, Chris Truscott, there's streaks and sort of, you know, obscure little facts, you know. So along the way, I certainly wanted to sort of run a lot faster than that over the years.
Mm.
I sort of had grand plans of sort of, you know, low 220s and so on. So happy to have broken 230, happy to have sort of covered, you know, travelled the world. So,
it's an amazing list.
You know,
yeah.
That first marathon was quite just sheer sort of, wow, this is, I'm in a marathon. Mm. Just jogging along with my brother. I think we went through 10K in 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, it's like way back, and I just said, Pete, I think I'm going to crack on. this is fun. And so I finished, yeah, fine. So
what motivated you to start doing marathons at 18? Because most people are, you know, drinking beers and chasing the opposite sex. And you're doing marathons. What was the motivation?
Yeah, no, I was doing that too. Definitely. I think actually...
Chasing over a long distance.
Well, my girlfriend lived at down at Collaro and I lived at Normanhurst. And so I might as well run down to her house as a long run, which is pretty much 32K on the dot. So good way to sort of, you know, get down there and tick it off. So yeah, I never really did the high mileage up until 18, like through school even. And got to sort of 18 and said, oh, maybe I can start to, you know, because I'm doing 40k a week, 50k a week. And so I started upping it, and I might try one of these marathons. And wow. just the allure of it, I think, just watching Deke and Moniz over the years. And, you know, Lloydy and the old Wang Marathon.
Yeah, the so 80s
Brad
were good,
Camp.
80s were a good started year, like a decade, wasn't it?
It was just the allure was there, and then I did one.
And you were logging your Ks at that age too, 40, 50 K a week. You knew how much you were doing. Not many people would know how many Ks they're doing as a...
No, well, I used to have these. My diary back then was the Sports Illustrated, you know, the hot chicks, the Sports Illustrated diary.
Yeah.
So I'd had that for about 8 years, and so it was motivation to log the Ks. So I've actually still got them somewhere in the garage. I don't think I'm ashamed bread of that. But, no such thing as Strava back then. It was more Cindy and L.
That's great. What a great motivation to write something in the diary.
Yeah. Open it up.
Just going to go for a run.
Yeah.
So at that age, like, did you have much in the way of injury hitting those distances so young?
No. I've been really lucky, actually. Like, when you compare myself to guys around me and over the years.
Mm.
Sure, I haven't made the very top level, but you know, I've had, you know, my wife calls me the longevity king, or just the longevity's been really good. Knees are fine, everything's been good all the way through. Mm. Never had a stressy.
And going through that growth phase, you know, 16, 17 through to maybe early 20s, no dramas.
Yeah, no, and the reason being is because I wasn't training 100k a week that some of the other guys in at the state level and the regional state level at school were training. Yep. I was sort of doing 30k's, running around the block, and sort of just scraping into the regional team to make the state.
Yeah.
And little did I know, like, you know, Trent Wood and Glenn Stojanovic sort of, you know, miles out in front going, what the hell are they doing that I'm not doing? I thought I was, you know, trading the house down. They were doing 110k a week as a 16-year-old.
And now they're busted.
And they all gave up, basically, when they left. So I basically wasn't pushed by me, my parents.
Mm.
I just followed my brothers around, just had fun. And then I started sort of a bit more of a regime.
And in hindsight, that's clearly the best way to do things, you know.
Well, yeah, it's all about balance at the end of the day. You know, soft surface running, especially when you're a kid, you need to get your biomechanics set. You know, you wouldn't be sort of attacking a marathon. Even I wouldn't even suggest someone do it at 18 now. But even my first couple were sort of, you know, quite, you know, wasn't overly focused on sort of achieving a time. So just so there is a taper up to. Mm-hmm. And then just as Deke sort of once said, yeah, I wish I'd tapered off in my career.
Yeah.
Like Montegetti's doing now, he's sort of tapering down very nicely.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Okay, mate, that's impressive.
Otherwise
your
body will
through.
Yeah, get knocked around.
Yeah. We've got a group of friends at the moment who want to break through our 3 hours in this year's Sydney Marathon. Why do you think 3 hours is such an obsession with road marathons?
It's just a round number that is achievable to the everyday person. It can be achievable.
Mm.
You know, your 2:30 is just that sort of probably out of reach for a lot of people. But the 3 hour mark, once you've done a couple and you get that bug, I think there's a lure there, and I think a lot of people sort of underestimate that it is a hard lure still.
Yeah.
It actually is quite difficult still.
Yeah.
But most people have the capability of training. If they don't get injured to that level.
Yeah. Are you coaching some people that are training for the Sydney Marathon? And what advice would you say to our friends that are coaching, that, you know, what's your coaching tip for these guys?
Yeah, look, I've just got the one guy doing Sydney. I've got one guy doing Sunshine Coast this Sunday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They're both around the 250 mark.
Okay, but, so already run sub 3 sort of time.
So I've had a couple sort of chasing that sub 3 in the past, and just, you know, look, the long runs are crucial, as we all know, sort of week in, week out, sort of beyond the 30k, you need to really get up sort of around the 35 and beyond.
Yeah.
With your fast finishes as well. What I mean by that is, you know, if you're doing a 35k run up to about 25k and then crank it up a bit, so you're sort of coming home the last 10k at, you know, marathon pace. Target marathon pace.
That's a typical session you'll prescribe.
Not every single week, but in the 10 weeks leading up to the marathon, you'd want to be well over 30k every week, with a couple at about 37, 38 that I would sort of suggest. So,
okay,
just the wheels fall off otherwise.
Yeah,
in the marathon, you know, you've got to practice your energy, you know, your energy levels, your intake. You've got to practice with your gels. yeah, basically treat those long runs like you're actually doing the marathon.
Try and simulate the race as much as possible. It's a great idea.
And then I would also do a marathon tempo, a marathon pace tempo about 3 weeks out, so about 25K. Again, do a 5K warm up and then 25K at target pace.
Yep.
Nice and flat. Yep. Unless it's a hilly one, they throw in a couple of hills. And then a couple of K cool down, so there's your sort of 33K long run.
There you go. You listen to this, Higa? It's fantastic.
Yeah, great advice. So what's one thing that a sub-3-hour marathoner needs to nail on race day?
Look, a lot of races in general come unstuck in the last week. People get too nervous, they eat the wrong things, they prepare wrong, they don't get to the start line properly, they don't get up properly in the right time, and all sorts of stuff happens. So, number one, get your admin sorted in that last week and don't stress out. Don't think you're getting unfit because you haven't done 100K for the week.
Yeah.
Just relax, enjoy it.
Tough psychology, though.
Yeah, hold back on the Maccas and all that sort of stuff for sure, but like, you know, load up in the last couple of days. It's usually common sense and have faith in what you have done. Obviously, the pacing, you know, certainly helps you. Are you one of these people that can stick with the marathon pace the whole way? Do you like a bit of buffer up front? Or can you bring it home? So you got to know what you've done in training, what works for you, and just have that confidence. And the confidence only comes through all those 36, 37, 38K runs where you just, oh, I've already done this. You know, it's just, I just need to be out here now for
just
3 hours.
Train session.
Just get it done.
Yeah.
And then nailing, obviously, the water stops and the drink stops and the gels, obviously. So just be really smart and astute. Obviously, enjoy it, but yeah, make sure that you're sort of, you know, you're ticking off all those 1%ers.
Yeah, good advice.
There you go.
Sensible.
There you go.
Well, we might go to a listener question. So it's actually from your mate Andrew Reed, or Reedy, better known as Reedy from Bondi Rescue.
Yeah.
So he wanted to break 3 hours at the Gold Coast Marathon recently, but got 3:13, and that was under the coaching of Craig Mottram.
Yep.
He wants to know if you...
Fan of the show, Craig Mottram.
big fan. Always doing listener questions. If you or Greta would have coached him, would you have got him under 3 hours?
We would have tried our hardest, that's for sure. We are talking about Reedy, you know, and we know his lifestyle. 1 minute he's racing in a rally car around Australia, the next minute he's on Bondi Rescue. So, you know, you got to work within the lifestyle constraints. He's now got a little Winnie, and I think the family was sick that week too. So, you know, there might have been an element of that on the day, but. I think with Reedy, it's more the lifestyle constraints, I think, that sort of got in the way. You know, nailing every single session week after week after week for the whole year is basically, you know, what you're looking at to sort of get your general fitness up, and then you sort of attack that last 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So, Reedy, I reckon you've got it in you, you know. Mottram, certainly respect to Mottram. He's, you know, he tried his best, but he has got a very difficult student in in old Reedy.
Do you reckon being on Bondi Rescue, he might not have wanted to shed the upper body weight required to be a good marathon runner? A few curls for the girls going on still.
Yeah.
A bit of bench press.
Well, yeah, marathon runners have never been the ones on the beach that everyone's sort of looking at.
That's right.
Bit of element of that, but like you can run. Certainly good runner.
Just shed the biceps, Reedy, I reckon. You'll be fine.
Yeah, and he runs down this way, doesn't he? Sort of a one way sort of run down to Quinella. I've seen on Strava, so he does the long runs, but he's just got to sort of fill in the gaps around all that.
Okay, good advice. So for these guys trying to, you know, break their 3 hour marathon, what would you pick as the fastest course in Australia to knock out a marathon PB?
If weather was ideal and perfect, and all, you know, conditions were absolutely perfect, then Melbourne, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, it's just beautiful conditions, basically. Flat, mostly flat. I think there's a little rise now up to the Tan towards the end, but the Gold Coast. People might be saying, "What about Gold Coast?" But they put it on too late.
Yeah.
Starts too late.
Too
and,
hot.
By the time you get back from Burleigh Heads to Cavill Avenue sort of area, it's just, the sun's all over you, and you start struggling. The winds come up by then.
Mm-hmm.
Is this year the first year that brought the time forward, so it's an earlier start?
No, it was still seven. It's still about 7:25. Yeah. And look, you know, obviously I'm sort of whinging about Gold Coast a little bit. They ran phenomenal times up there.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, for the average person that, you know, for their first marathon, the heat may affect them.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, my own experience, Melbourne's been the pick within Australia.
Yeah.
I did an article many years ago, First Runners World, that ever was in Australia. many the 90s, I think it was called, the Rave Run.
Hmm.
And I did an article that said Marathon Oz versus Marathon OS. And so comparing all the overseas marathons, the travel, the pros and cons in staying local, hours to Canberra versus
to all PBs.
To all the way over, it came out basically balanced. If you've got the time, you can get over to Berlin and spend time over there acclimatising. That's obviously ideal.
Yeah.
But, more recently, I would say that somewhere sort of in Japan or some sort of cool weather Asian marathon would be the most ideal.
Yeah. And they talk about sort of 10 degrees being about right for PB time. Have you had that experience yourself? Like, has that temperature made that much of a difference to you?
Yeah, well, it certainly makes a difference if it's hot. I've gone out the back door, but I did Chicago and it's 4 degrees that particular morning. And managed a 2:32.
Yeah.
I was all rugged up. So, the beauty is you can take layers off.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you can't really sort of do that when it's 40 degrees or 35 degrees, but...
No, that's right.
Yeah.
No, it works for me too, the cool weather. So, regarding that sub-3 marathon, so endurance athletes often have the ability to compete at a high level well into their later years. How long do you think you can maintain your personal record of sub-3 hour marathons?
Assuming I keep doing them. I reckon, I've just turned 45, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to at least another 5 or so years the goal is for Sydney Surf purposes to keep going under 50 until I'm 50.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine I'll sort of try and mirror that with the marathons. I've got Boston to do next April, which will be my 6th of the majors.
Yeah.
The last one.
Is that your next marathon that you'll do?
I might chuck one in just as a training run.
Yeah.
Boston. Yeah, I'll probably target somewhere 2:40 around that sort of mark.
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Last piece in the puzzle.
Yeah,
6 majors, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not in my luck, I'll be on the start line, they'll make a big announcement. There's 2 more now, folks.
Because they just had it in Tokyo not too long ago.
I did that in 2007, so luckily they backdated.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Very good.
What's your best piece of running advice that you've received from somebody else? I heard that Andrew Lloyd, friend of the show, gave you some once. What was that?
Yeah. Yeah, so we did a heat study up in Townsville many years ago, 96, I think it was, for the Atlanta Olympics. So we did a bit of heat study, and we're up there talking about what's it going to take, Lloydy, to get an Aussie Guernsey, I just can't, I'm nowhere near it. And he basically just said, mate, the only chance you've got is 100K.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
straight up, yeah. And he was right.
I said, 100K, are you serious? And yeah. Anyway, it took 14 years for me to realise that he was right. So luckily I was living in Queen's Park, so there happened to be one on Centennial Park. So I thought, alright, I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah. So you did the 100K at Centennial Park.
Yeah, 28 laps.
And that qualified you for the Australian team.
Yeah, so I had to break 8 hours. I got around at 7:51. So okay. Tick that box, and then they had a couple of about a year and a half of sort of fuffling around with who was going to host the event overseas. They had a cancellation, then Latvia was going to do it, and then I think Netherlands was going to do it, and then they all pulled out, and suddenly we end up in Qatar of all places.
Oh really?
It's like 27 degrees, and wow. But anyway, the signal went on, and I went around the track, and I ran a 7:46, so it was
kind of
all the way over there for 5 minute sort of PB, but.
Wow!
So was it on a track?
If you could picture Homebush, if everyone knows Homebush Olympic Park, they basically mirrored that over there in Qatar, Doha. So it's basically similar to running around Homebush. So there's like pavements and a bit of road, a bit of footpath, and
okay.
So it's all hard surface.
Yeah, was it a loop or?
It was a 5K loop.
5K loop.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're on the Australian road 100K team.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So Brendan Davies, Andy Hayden, Jody. The other girls' names, but
they're on the team.
Yeah, yes. Kerry Otto de Grancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good trip. The biggest problem afterwards was, Qatar, as you probably might know,
is a
dry country.
Yeah.
And we had to wait till the next day, we had to go to Marriott just to get a beer, and they wanted us to order a whole lot of food just to get one beer, and just get me out of here.
Lucky you just run 100Ks and you need a whole lot of food as well.
So. Yeah. So, we finished at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
We wouldn't survive over there, I don't think, without beer.
That'd be tough.
There's no appeal.
No. But ticked it off, got it done.
Yeah, well, you represented your country. So your coaching business, Rejuve Runners, with your wife Greta, who was an impressive athlete herself. Can you give us Greta's background? Who's won more races, you or her?
Oh, look, I think we're both sort of pretty even. So, yeah, she hails from Alice Springs originally, so she grew up in Alice Springs. I met her at Threadbow Running Week, the running week they have down there.
Yeah.
And over the years, she's represented Australia in triathlon, so the age group sort of stuff. So she's a very good swimmer and cyclist, you know, when she was doing it. I think we sort of share the podiums here and there.
Share the spoils.
You know, we're trolling the net for those obscure races that no one else goes to. And
we like to call them egg and spoon races on the show.
So. Yeah, so, you know, Reedy just called us across the line just the other week up at Whitehaven Beach. So we did a half marathon up and down the beach. And
we've got that to talk about.
Okay, so I think it's probably even.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Pretty even.
Yeah.
So. All right.
And do you guys tend to target the same races or do you keep it separate? Typically.
Oh no, look, whatever works in. If we, you know, ideally we love getting away from Sydney, so you know, if there's a weekend to be had somewhere and we can take Jaden, we can someone to, you know, look after our 7 year old boy Jaden.
Yeah.
Then great, we'll both do it. But
That's good. I also noticed that Greta's a massage therapist, so how do you go getting a massage at home?
Oh, I had my birthday last Thursday and that was my present.
That's rough. You gotta wait till your birthday to get a massage.
No, she's very busy herself as well, so I've got to book in with her. That's how the name actually came about, just rejuvenate. Play on words. She was a massage therapist, massaging a few Olympians and, you know, like Benny St. Lawrence and almost Olympian Lockie Chisholm, if you know that name, and a few of those guys. So over the years, I felt harder and harder to get in.
Does she make you book in at work? Like, do you have to make an appointment?
Almost, yeah, yeah.
Because I make my wife make an appointment.
Yeah.
Right.
She loves it.
Yeah. So tell us how Rejuve Runners got started.
So with the massage business, firstly, that's how she got qualified as a massage therapist, and so we started that. Started with morphed into some strength and core strength sort of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
They were okay, went well attended. I just sort of, you know, at the time we were running with Sean Williams and Sweat.
Yeah.
We were pretty active in that group, and a few people started asking, you know, mainly Greta for programs. And so we sort of said, how about we start a running group ourselves? And it took quite a few years to sort of, you know, build it. You know, it takes a while for, you know, to build scale. There was a point where I said, look, if we just could start getting 20 people to get to our group, that'd be awesome. Yeah. You know, and then now we're sort of around the 50-60 mark every sort of Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
So you guys do an interval set Tuesday, Thursday, sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, so this morning it wasn't 50 or 60. It was horrible conditions in the park.
It was a bit wet out there.
30 this morning, which is not too bad. So we did a sitter surf type session where it was a
2.5K
loop around with a hill in it for around Centennial Park.
Yeah, very good.
So we did that sort of four times.
I've seen you guys do a monthly time trial down at ES Mark, so competitive does that one...
It's getting more competitive, actually. So, yeah, again, sort of the Hertz used to do that a lot. We sort of then merged with the Hertz group and sort of started doing, you know, the same night.
So you're all joining together.
Now we've got, yeah, Nick's Run Club. We've got Danny Moore's group in the Eastern Suburbs. We've got ourselves, you know, there's the Hertz guys, you know, a couple of Sweat guys. So we're kind of making it sort of into a bit of a social inter-club thing.
Yeah, good.
You know, the beers sort of flow afterwards sometimes. And it's... it's pretty good. So competitive wise, you know, the last three times I've run 16, 21, 21 and 22.
Yeah, right.
So I was sort of stuck in a
time warp there. Winning the time trial or you?
Look, it's myself and the ANSW guy, James Constantine, that's running about the same time.
Okay.
One of our guys in Rejuve had his brother over for a couple of weeks and he ran 15:45 last time. He's like a national runner over there. But all the way down to 20, 25, 6 minutes, you know, just we sort of take over the track. It's fun. It's good.
That's good.
It's unreal.
I believe the Rejuve group is heading to the Outback in 2020. What's that about? How do people get involved?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is where I'm passionate about. I love travelling. Obviously, I love my running, but love the travelling and, you know, it's wherever we can go to sort of, you know, enjoy the local sort of surrounds and take people with us. That's what we're all about. So we've done it three times already. You know, obviously we've done plenty of other camps, so we've taken people out back a couple of times.
Yeah.
So Greta being from Alice Springs, whole family's still there. We get Greta's dad to sort of get involved and be a sort of bit of a tour guide because he knows the land like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
So we sort of t- take them from Alice Springs through sort of the West McDonald Ranges, Kings Canyon, Ormiston Gorge, around, you know, Glen Helen was, you know, all that sort of area, and then down to Uluru.
Yeah.
And on Easter Sunday morning, we do a couple of laps of the rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great. You can actually touch the rock as you're going around.
Yeah,
so it's that close. And, yeah, so next year we might even make it an unofficial sort of, you know, half marathon.
Have a race.
Marathon, yeah. Because it's roughly 10K per lap.
Okay.
So, it's we love it. It's just as soon as you get off the plane in Alice Springs, you're instantly relaxed.
Yeah.
Just, the city's behind you. It's amazing. Amazing spot.
So how long's you go at Easter time? Is it, do you go for 5 days? How long's the program?
Yeah, usually sort of 4 nights, but this one's going to be 5 nights.
Yeah.
Because we're incorporating what we did last year with the Larapinta Trail.
Yeah.
Okay.
With our sort of tour down to the rock and the Olgas and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
It's not your typical sort of, you know, fully sort of obsessive running type camp. It's kind of a bit more of a tour.
Yeah.
So we do the running, we get that sort of out of the way, then we sort of tour around. There's happy hour every day, there's stargazing, there's, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's trivia nights that I put on, and yeah, so it's very social.
That sounds good. So yeah. If any of the listeners want to come, do you have to be a rejuve person, or how's that?
No, you don't, but you do need to grab the remaining, one of the remaining 16 spots.
Okay. 16 spots?
15, I think, someone booked today. So we've got a bus. We've got a bus that goes. Yeah, that can go on the Marini Loop, which is the dirt track, which is it's quite smooth. But like, yeah, it's 28 spots available.
Yeah.
So, and there's 13 gone. So.
Wow.
And that's basically, yeah, everything's covered. So we cover everything. So, bus, food, accommodation, everything.
Wow.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And how long would be the longest run if somebody was sort of thinking, oh, I'd like to go, but what are they up for? What day would be the longest run?
Oh, most likely. I mean, look, the Larapinta camp we did, the longest was 21k. That was a reasonably tough leg, but we won't be doing that one again. It's probably 16k.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Achievable.
Plus the Sunday morning long run, if they want to do one lap, two laps, four laps. Yeah, they'd probably cut it off at four laps. We've got to get out of there at some stage.
Four laps are in the rock.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Before the Rangers might start tapping us on the shoulder by then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds epic.
Yeah, no, it's a great one, that one.
So, you know, you mentioned that you're 45. How do you think, you know, maintaining your longevity? And do you think it's because you compete across a wide spectrum of events? You do some cross-country stuff. You're not just on the road. How do you maintain it and minimise your injuries?
Yeah, look, I've just I think firstly the realisation when I was sort of mid to late 20s that I wasn't going to be anywhere near like the Olympic type level. So it kind of took that off the table. Firstly, so I've managed to sort of enjoy the balance ever since. So the competitiveness still is in me. I still look at age groups. I still try and sort of target, you know, the guys sort of, you know, around me up front, you know, not right up front, but so the balance of trail running that's helped over the years. So all the UTA type stuff and Tarawera and all that sort of, you know, those events have been really motivational. And I've tended to sort of go 1 year long, next year sort of back on the road, trying to sort of get the short stuff.
Yeah.
Not as much track these days, just because,
stressful, is that why?
Oh, to be really honest, I just don't like the drive out to Homebush.
That's a good enough
Saturday
reason.
Saturday afternoon, it's like going and watching kids play cricket.
Road's awful.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. Don't mind the track, just over the years, mixing it up, soft surface running, knowing your body. You mentioned injuries before. I've got one niggle in my sort of chronic niggle in my toe that's sort of arthritic, so just sort of watching your body at all times and don't sort of downplay something that you don't, you know, doesn't feel right.
And what are the you're obviously doing some strength training. What strength exercises do you do, or how often are you doing strength training?
This is going to be a good answer.
Yeah. I wish there was a lot more. Yeah, work's paying for a gym now, so I joined Virgin Gym, so there's no excuse. And I've even got one of our runners there. I see her all the time, so there's no excuse. I've got all the exercises at my disposal.
Yeah,
I've got all the information. You know,
you just need to implement.
The execution is not always there.
It's amazing how often I hear this at work. I paid for a gym membership, so I'm definitely going to get fit now.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
I tell all my guys, like, yeah, even if you're watching TV when the commercials come on, do it between the while the commercials are on.
Yeah,
at least have that as a break. So, I do it. Greta's absolutely just so diligent. She's often
makes you feel guilty.
Sort of. I think I've been enjoying the fact that I haven't had to do it for so many years, but now I do have to do it.
Yeah. So I noticed that you ran 16:34 earlier this year at Airlie Beach Park Run, which is a pretty challenging 5K course. And then the following day at Whitehaven Beach Half Marathon, yourself and Greta both won the race. And also, did your son Jaden win the race? Did the Truscotts take the whole event?
Yeah, we had a bit of a trifecta that day. So yeah, it was a good weekend, great weekend. So yeah, seeing little Jaden do it, his 500 meter dash, but you know, we were sort of positioned up the course just in case he sort of started losing it. But no, he just went for it and
he just powered
through. It's like, oh hello, maybe he has got some genes after all.
Well, he bloody should, shouldn't he?
Well, yeah. He's not a nugget, but like he's got a little bit of the Greta's family in him, so it's not sure which way it's going to go, whether the running or the like footy or, you know. But that was a great weekend. They put on a fantastic event, you know. Reedy and Dino sort of, you know, called it, you know, make a good fun sort of atmosphere. And
and
it's great that, you know, we could sort of clear out the front and get the win.
So what time did you run for the half?
About 77 and a half, I think it was.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
That's a fast time.
And yeah.
Considering it's not on the road, there's a bit of sand involved.
But yeah, look, I mean, most of the 5K, five and a bit, just 5K, pretty much hard sand. Like, didn't affect me, like, just like running on the road almost. It was extreme low tide.
Yeah.
I had the shoes on.
Okay.
So I got the little sort of Hoka rehighs that I was wearing. So
yeah.
And they're fantastic for it. And the last 100 metres turnaround each time was soft sand. But okay. Mostly hard.
Yep. So was it a 5K loop, was it?
Yeah, it's like 5.1 something.
Yep.
And then a bit of a breeze on the way back, but that was good because it was quite a hot day.
Yeah.
A warm day.
And then the wind Sundays.
That was beautiful.
And tough to take.
Straight into the beers and flopped into the ocean right on Whitehaven Beach and just watched everyone come in. It was fantastic.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't get any better. I'd recommend that weekend, definitely. Yeah. I think we're going to go back next year and stay on the island next time.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to knock off Brendan Davies'
early
beach park run. That was kind of front and centre. The Whitehaven was like secondary.
and you did manage to do it.
Yeah, I thought 16:45. Yeah, that's doable. Come on, I should be able to do that. And then I sort of saw the course. It was pretty niggly and tight, and you know, a lot of people on there with prams and the outback type thing. It was like, and I got to sort of halfway on the way back. The second I was like, oh, this is going to be tight.
Mm.
So, but man, I managed to close it out. So
11 seconds.
If you're listening, Brendan, bad luck. he beat me in the Sydney 10, so I owe him one.
There's a bit of a niggle back and forth between you two then.
Yeah, I can't get him anywhere. I'm nowhere near him over the long stuff, so
no one is.
Short stuff.
He's a freak, isn't he?
You'll slow down at some stage. A couple of years to go, buddy.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Mate, so with the Whitehaven Beach run, Maddie and I have got the Surf Coast Century coming up. You got any tips for us running on the sand or...?
Oh, it's just a mammoth difference between soft sand and hard sand for me. I just, you know, you feel like you're drunk when you're on the soft sand. You
just know, when you're wobbling
sort of around. You know, some people say to get on your toes and sort of, you know, almost create divots, you know, running. I think generally speaking, running in someone else's footprint tends to be the way to go.
I'm just going to run in mats, I reckon.
Yeah. if you don't mind shoes getting wet, or if there's no choice whatsoever in that race, I don't know, you can run right down sort of where it is harder.
Yeah.
That's probably the other option. I know Paddy Farmer's got his coming up, but I think that's soft sand.
Maroubra,
A lot of people tend to run down to the shoreline sometimes and run along the shoreline
and come back up.
So they run further, but it's faster.
Yeah. So his race is called the Quicksand Classic, is it?
Yeah.
It's coming up in September or something.
It's a marathon. You can put teams in.
Yeah.
So, he asked us to plug it for him.
We're doing the same. We're sort of plugging it amongst our network, so hopefully I'm just trying to think whether I might do the 10 or the half or... Be careful what you wish for. We
got Surf Coast Century the week before, so we're hoping there's like a 300 meter race. But I don't know that we'll be knocking out a marathon on the sand that day.
I got a mate who's done the Surf Coast. He said it's a fantastic event. So,
it looks good.
Yeah,
it looks good.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
So, mate, you've been running marathons for a long time, and you would have seen the idea of race nutrition change a lot in that time. So, how much has your sort of personal fueling strategy changed over 30 marathons?
Didn't really tend to do many gels back when I first started. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if they were actually around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more so just, you know, a bottle of Gatorade that we'd sort of buy along the way or have in our hands. But so the gels, the electrolytes, and the way you can sort of have the electrolytes now is certainly an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an affiliation with Tailwind, and if you haven't tried Tailwind, there's no gels, but it's like a powder.
Yeah.
Very easy on the stomach. Just love that stuff. So I'll sort of have that on hand with a little bottle. But other than that, you know, if not, you know, I know Lloydie's sort of you know, goo. Yeah, but there's plenty out there. So I tend to, in a marathon, take about 4 or 5 of those gels.
Yep.
Coach once said, you know, make sure you have a drink at every single stop and try and alternate it between water and electrolytes.
Yep.
So just, has it changed much? No, just try and keep hydrated along the way, and, you know, have a good sort of carb meal the night before, you know, the days before and the morning off.
Yeah. So the soreness hasn't changed too much?
Not too much.
No.
It's all in the training.
That's right. And look, I was just going to ask, like, marathon times in Australia certainly haven't been coming down necessarily over the last 30 years. If anything, they've probably been going a little bit the other way. How do you explain this with our, you know, supposed better nutrition, better shoes, better knowledge?
Yeah, I think at the top level, there's a lot more opportunity now over the 3, 5, 10 to sort of go abroad and get a Guernsey in the IAAF, for example, to earn some money in the local circuit. And so I think the transition up to the marathon is not happening as soon as it should be.
Okay.
So, you know, your Monteghetti started, I think it was 22, 23, perhaps.
Hmm.
You know, that was the sort of the holy grail, straight to the marathon. So I think the depth is not coming through quick enough.
Hmm.
So as a result, maybe their bodies are taking a little bit longer to sort of adjust, or they're sort of missing the opportunity to run that sort of faster time. Having said that, you know, Benny just ran his first sort of successful, you know, marathon the other week at Gold Coast in 2:14. So you know, and he's a 27-minute runner.
Yeah.
So you know, it comes down to when you do start, your biomechanics a little bit, it's just amazing how Deke and Monitor's record just have, you know, just been maintained all these years. But so we're now seeing Brett Robinson and, you know, and those guys,
Jack Rayner,
sort of getting there. I think Brett sort of went out at about 2:08, 2:07 pace anyway in London.
So a good crop at the moment, potentially.
Yeah, there is a good crop, I think, so it's coming through. So I think we're not far away. I thought Liam Adams would break 2:10 at the Gold Coast, personally. Just off the back of not only his SMH half marathon, but also the Mini Moss 10K, which has been around for many years. No one's ever broken 30, and he did that for the first time. And I know all the guys that have run that. So I thought, but he was pretty close to that. So they're knocking on the door.
Yeah,
but you know, 2:07:51's
still out there.
You know, the Japanese guy did it.
Yeah, they soon have a few though. Japan,
we did 2:07:50 at the Gold Coast. So.
It's impressive. Mate, we've got a bit of an obsession going with a 6-foot track marathon here at the podcast. So you've had some great success at the race with the second place in 2005, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. How was that experience for you? You enjoyed?
That was my one only really good experience.
Okay.
You know, I've done it a few times since, and I think I've averaged 5 minutes slower each time. I've only done it 4 times.
Yep.
But yeah, that was great. So 6 foot's always good the first time. Yeah, we don't really overanalyze the course.
This is our problem.
Yeah. I just cruised down to the river, crossed the river. I actually crossed it, like, I went to all lengths to cross it without getting wet.
Yep.
So I didn't get my feet wet. So I was like one of those people.
Took your shoes off?
No, I sort of went down. It was low tide. The river was down, and I just went across the rocks and made my way up the hill. I had a good hill. I think that was the difference.
Yeah.
If you have a good pluviometer, then you can sort of make up or lose so much time.
But cruisier to the river than other times.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I was in about 30th position, sort of, you know, through Megalon Valley, and just started sort of gradually picking up from there. I got second at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And then Don Wallace came past me on Black Range, and then I went past him at the last bit to get second back again. So
very good.
Daniel Green was just too far away.
Yeah, right. do you think you'll ever have another crack of that race? Or?
I said I would run it again, but I'm not sure I'll race it.
Yeah.
But I think I will do it next year. But I think I might adopt that first sort of strategy.
Just
really take my time sort of down to the hill.
It sounds like a wise move, doesn't it?
I think that's where we've been going wrong for the last 5 years.
Well, I did it last year, and just same thing. I sort of had a crack and just blew up within like 300 meters up the hill.
Yeah, right. Perfect.
I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. So you ran 2017?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that was 2016, 2017. So 3:48, I think it was.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a good time.
Sharp.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, when you...
It's a bad realisation 300 metres into that climb. 10k's worth of climb in out of you.
Yeah, I can get my head around the climb. It's just the black range afterwards. You know, you get 7 or 8k, sort of, yeah, gradually uphill.
Mm.
You just...
Horrible.
The older you get, yeah, yeah, the hamstrings sort of can't handle that load too much, and yeah, glutes don't fire as much, and yeah, back to your strength thing.
Yeah. And look, how do you tend to go with the hillier courses typically?
These days, not as good as I used to.
Okay.
Used to love it. Yeah. But, you know, even New York Marathon last year, it was a little bit hillier than I was hoping.
Yeah.
So I kind of, yeah, just kind of died in that race too. So, yeah, it's getting tougher. So I do need to incorporate that strength regime to get that going again.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you've got a really diverse resume of races, wins, course records. What distance or type of race do you reckon you're best suited for, Chris?
I guess my favourite race and probably my most successful last year was the Rafferty's one.
Yep.
Up at the 22K.
Rafferty's Cove. So
yeah, Rafferty's Cove. That's had an absolute cracker there. Sort of broke the record. Got a whole bunch of Strava segments.
Yep.
Which that was a bonus.
Winning.
But just felt really good all the way through. So that, yeah, I don't mind the trail events that are around that 25K mark.
Okay.
Half marathon traditionally was sort of my favourite.
Yep.
But tens and halves on the road, but yeah, so.
Yeah, righto. And do you think that sort of diversity of racing helps you to be a better rounded coach for other people?
Well, it gives you a bit of credibility that you've tried it all yourself. Mm-hmm. You've made all the mistakes yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, trying to pass those on, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think so. Especially there's a lot more people now putting their hand up and saying, yep, I can do 100K.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be the marathon was the ultimate sort of...
The pinnacle.
But now it's kind of just a stepping stone to that ultra.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got people looking to go to Western States and Badwater and, you know, UTMB and the list goes on. Just people having a bit more of a crack these days.
So, like, within your coaching experience, do you think, I guess more recently, runners tend to target too long a race too early? Like, I feel like social media might have a little part to play there with them pushing those limits.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. There's a little bit of element of that, you know, water cooler type situation where you're standing around there Monday morning and, you know, guess what I did on the weekend.
Mm.
So, yeah, you've certainly got to be sensible. But having said that, you know, if the time cutoff is there, like if it's a generous time limit, then and you don't mind sort of, you know, having a day out hiking around this 50K course, you know, then, yeah, go for it, you know, if it's going to keep you fit. But, yeah, I think if you want to be competitive, you certainly need to progress up to it.
Mm. Have you had to hold people back in their goals in that sense, as far as distance is concerned?
No, not necessarily. No, it's just more so the time frame they've allowed themselves.
Yeah.
You know, one of my guys from Hertz had a 5-week schedule. Like 5 weeks, he wanted me to give a 5-week program for Gold Coast for the marathon. Right. So his goal was basically a Boston qualifier, and he'd been injured, and he's like, what can you do in 5 weeks? And I was like, what can you do in 5 weeks, mate? Did it, 2:55.
Fitting him.
Yeah. And so we're off to Boston, so it was in my interest to sort of help him.
That's good for the resume. Sure. Couch to 42.
Yeah, I might put on a bit of paper, put on the telegraph file.
Oh, that's perfect. And look, with all your racing, you know, you seem to do a bunch of different races, diverse sort of stuff. Do you tend to have, you know, one or two A races per year, or do you just try to maintain a fitness level and then... Have a crack when you see certain things pop up.
Yeah, pretty much that. Yeah. Just these days, like it used to be, the calendar was, you know, your state 10K, you know, the ANSW cross country events, the Sydney Morning Herald half, Gold Coast half. You'd go through the Cedar Surf, Blackmore, you know, stock standard sort of year, and you sort of have club races around that. But certainly want to try and mix it up more and more over the next couple of years. I want to get back to Tararira in February.
Okay,
love that event.
100K.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. So I'm thinking of doing the UTA 50. So might just do the 60 or 80 over there.
Mm.
But yeah, so ultimately Comrades 2020
is
the goal. But yeah, so that's probably the only one on my bucket list. Complete what I need to do besides Boston.
Okay. And so how does your training then differ between, you know, say a marathon block or building up to Tarawera?
Yeah, I do get it asked a bit, actually. Just, look, the mileage for me, you know, if I was training for a marathon pretty full on, it'd be probably top out 130 these days.
Mm.
So, and it wouldn't change too much for an ultra, except for the Sunday run. I'd just sort of up that to at least 40 and the occasional 60 if I was doing 100K.
You go up to 60k.
I'll do that once or twice.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, when I was training for Centennial Park, I basically just ran around the track there for 60k.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the loop courses, to be honest. You sort of almost get hypnotized, and you sort of, before you know what you're doing, it just ticking them off. It's great.
That's perfect.
So yeah, so mainly it's just long run changes. Probably wouldn't need to do as much in the way of 400s and that type of stuff. Yeah. When you train for the long stuff. So
yeah, very good. Yeah. You do some hill sessions within that too.
Yeah, definitely stair sessions as well. If you're going to do UTA or those type of events, trail events, you know, there's lots. You know, living in Coogee, it's very hilly. Lots of stairs around there.
Yeah.
You know, trips up to the mountains on the weekend, that type of thing occasionally. So
some specificity there.
Definitely need to do more hills.
Very good. Mate, I pulled a great quote from your Ruju website. So, Chris sets challenging pursuits, but couples these with a healthy dose of the social. It fits so perfectly within the Running Matters ethos. Yeah. So, how do you like to celebrate a successful race campaign?
The problem I have is I celebrate the day before. On Saturday, I was at a Christmas in July party, and it was just you know, mulled wine, roasted marshmallow. The list went on, beers and... get up and run the Sydney Harbour 10K. Even the Chicago Marathon, when I ran 2:32, I was up all night on the Friday night at Buddy's Club over there. Like, just... because I'd only just run Berlin. I won this trip to Chicago.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to run that well. So I'll just go get tanked and spend all day in bed on Saturday and end up running 2:32. So, but usually post-event, you sort of, you know, just get home, have a shower, take a glass of water and...
Get
into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those who know me certainly know I don't mind a beer.
Oh, that's unreal.
Wine. It's good.
Do you ever get that when you go to a race? Wolfie, like, you're there on the Friday night before a Saturday race, you're in this great location, you just feel like a whole bunch of beers.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Always
hold yourself back.
Yeah, always come unstuck doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, the 100Ks, it's kind of my thing, you know, just make sure there's a beer at the finish line. That sort of gets me through the last 20,
couple
of beers.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. The Tarawera one was fantastic because we finished out at Tarawera and sponsored by a brewery.
Yeah.
So we're sort of just in the river, sort of chatting away with a beer in our hand afterwards. Perfect.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds like the Bright Four Peaks.
Yeah.
Have to come down and do that one day. Sit in the Bright River, have a beer.
Yeah. I did that one once. Buffalo Stampede that way. So
yeah, great spot.
That was tough.
Great spot. Do you think there's a danger when people become a bit too race or training focused and miss out on that social aspect?
Well, a lot of my mates would argue that, you know, I sort of indulged too much and I've missed a few results as a accordingly. But you know,
it doesn't sound like it.
you got to have that balance. So yes, definitely. I think some people can be a little bit too sort of high strung in that regard. Mm. Depends where they're at, you know. So obviously if you're training for the Olympics or you know, Australian level, then by all means, take the gloves off, you know, just do whatever you need to do for that. But I think the social aspect too is also really important, you know, building those communities, you know, of runners, like-minded runners, getting sort of, you know, into the groove, training groups, that type of thing. It certainly helps, and that's what Rejuve does, you know. There's nowhere you go, there's nothing like that at all. You just turn up and you find yourself in a community of like-minded people and away you go. So
one of the best parts about running for me.
A
bunch of like-minded, crazy people.
Yeah. I mean, the end of the 6-foot track, you know, the New South Wales Institute of Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they still allow that or not anymore, but that,
they're still there.
Beers at the finish line. They're trying to crack down on people getting blasted.
We had 1,000.
Yeah. We took our own esky.
Yeah. That's sensational, just sitting there in the sun all afternoon and just...
We missed the last bus out of there one year.
Yeah. Well, I always book the night there.
Yeah,
Saturday night. So
you don't have to worry.
You get the car parked that way.
Yeah,
and then
that's genius.
Yeah, you just roll up the hill. And
one of my favourite nights of the year, I reckon. That.
Yeah,
back at the Bank Hotel in Katoomba.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
Yeah,
mate. Wolfie's been test driving a pair of Hockers for our mates at Ranulla.
Yep.
I noticed Hocker look after you guys at Rejuve.
Yep.
What are you running in at the moment?
Basically, I like to rotate them all around. Like, I'm wearing these Gaviotas right now. They're kind of like your traditional, what people think of hocker type shoes. They're quite big and chunky, and these particular ones, but they're very comfortable. I raced in the Tracers the other day,
mm-hmm.
Tracer 2s, The other up at Whitehaven, I mentioned Rehighs. They're quite flat, so they're very fast, really lightweight shoe.
A road shoe, they are.
They're road. Pretty much a road or track. I use them on the track as well. Elevons. Basically, I'm just rotating a lot around. So the Cliftons.
Have you run or tried the Torrents? That's what I'm
getting into. Got the Torrents at home.
They're
Speed
nice.
Goat, Challenger. But the Torrents are a lightweight version for trail and off-road.
It's got them all.
And so if any of the listeners are interested in getting some Hockers, get down to Renala, mention Running Matters, and get your 10% discount.
Yeah, they're great. So they've really listened over the years and sort of brought the size of the shoe down without sort of, you know, costing the integrity of the cushioning that people really love about Hocker. So it's a good shoe.
It's helping your longevity, you reckon?
Yeah, it's definitely helped the longevity. We are getting sort of the aging sort of athlete coming in more and more. So, but having said that, yeah, there are some racing flats now that, and I think there's a Spike too, I believe.
Hocker Spike?
Yeah.
There you go.
I haven't got new Spikes for years, so I think that's why I said I think there's one.
Have you had a crack of the carbon plate stuff? Is that out for general consumption?
No, I haven't yet. Yeah, I know which one you mean, but no. There's a new one that's just come out for Rincon. But that's kind of a little bit like the sort of Elohim and Clifton type sort of area.
And do you find with that bit of arthritis you're talking about in the toe that the Hockers are helpful in that regard?
They are. I do get a cortisone injection sort of once a year into that joint, so it's kind of that sort of MPJ joint. But the Hockers are definitely helpful there.
Yeah.
So that's why I sort of got a limit to where I use the flats on.
Mm.
So just that, again, that sort of longevity thing.
Yeah, I've got a few patients at work that are arthritic toes and they're digging the Hockers. So
yeah,
helpful shoe.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So
very good. And I've got another listener question too, actually. Yeah. This guy's held back his name, but just used the tag painfully frustrated. So I've been battling away with plantar fasciitis leading into a marathon in 2 months' time. So in my heart, I know I won't achieve my goal time. Am I better off pulling out and refocusing my efforts on another race or just toughening up, continue pushing through it and see what happens in 2 months?
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's going to be chronic otherwise, but... You know, there comes a point where you just need to have that one run where the decision's going to be made afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's usually a long run, I would imagine. So, you know, he'd want to basically get out there and run a, 30-odd K. And if he's in absolute agony and pain, then there's your decision.
And this month, two months out, you'd be making that call, long run?
I think if it's not improving, and the treatment's not working, whatever treatment he's getting for it, then you'd probably want to sort of try and have a look at a marathon just beyond that. Get away with it, maybe. You can sort of pop a bunch of Voltaren on the night before, but it's gonna be tough 2 months to try and sort of get through that.
So I've got some advice, like, whoever the listener may be, like, that person probably had dreams of moving out of home as well. And we've all got dreams, and just like you let go of that dream of moving out, because I'm assuming that you still live at home with your family now, then maybe let go of this dream as well.
Yeah. It's good advice, Matty.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. What's your speaking of unusual sort of records that you've got, what's your record streak for running every day without a day off?
I've done it twice, 5:12 and 5:13. I think it is.
513 days in a row.
Yeah. So I did it just the calendar year twice, and I happened to have run in December, and so I said, I'll go to 500. And I don't know why I did. I think it's probably because I'd run 12 days in December, so 512, and then decided to do it again 1 year and
just broke it.
My first day off was from the Sydney Striders annual awards dinner, and I'd organised Deke to be speaking at the dinner, and he's up there, and I told him that today was my first day off after 513. He's up there trying to tell me to run home from the Star City.
To keep it rolling.
Don't do it. Keep going. Nah, I was too pissed. But I just came off 200. I ran pretty much every day to my birthday, so 206 days this year. Wow. I started off just post Christmas, kind of get myself fit, hold myself accountable, run every day. That'll do it. You get to February, it's like, just keep going. Why take a day off?
Exactly. That's pretty impressive.
And obviously your body's not suffering for running every day.
Greta keeps saying, why do you do it? But I was just like, 7K is pretty achievable. That's my minimum.
Yeah.
7K. So, I can run first thing in the morning, then I don't have to run till the following evening. There's 36 hours.
And at your pace, 7Ks takes about 3.5 minutes. So
yeah, no, it was kind of 7K, 30 minutes was kind of the...
Okay.
Have to be running for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
It's a fair bit of discipline to do that still, like, because you get sick.
Oh, the hardest one was that I just came out of a conference in the Yarra Valley 2 weeks ago. It was Thursday night. We're up till 3 a.m. Yeah, gone. Had to be in the conference room at 9:30. So between 3 and 9:30, I had to sort of sleep, get up, 7K.
Yeah,
That was tough.
Yeah, far out. When did you start running with the Hurt Squad, and why do you think that group has been maintained for such a long period?
Oh, because I think they've all just reached the higher levels of their, you know, in their jobs. There's no one's moving anywhere, so they're still there. So, you know, all these captains of industry, so they keep saying. Yeah. Started 10 years ago. I think I started about sort of 6 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I sort of joined the group, and you know, obviously being one of the more competitive ones, you know, I was sort of racing, you know, top guys at, you know, around the sessions and in the races. So I got quickly sort of known sort of in that sort of Hurt circle, and great bunch of guys and girls. They get out, just the consistency, they get out Tuesday, Thursdays, they smash it really hard, mm-hmm. as hard as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of, you know, they sort of train hard, play hard.
Yeah, that's good.
Attract that kind of person.
It's a very good, very good sort of mix, those guys. We all get together, you know, before and, you know, after events, and it's a good group.
That's good.
Unreal.
So the 6x6, what's this new event you've started?
Where'd you get all this?
I can't tell you our sources, mate. We're well equipped.
Everyone asked about our research team.
Dave Stewart at the running shop at Clavelli, like, he just said, oh, he's got this 6x6 on a Wednesday night, so that's just his little 6 kilometres at 6 p.m. So let's do one that involves like a pub and 6 kilometres. So I just said, well, we'll call it the 6x6. So it's like 6 pubs, 6 kilometres, 6 beers. So I was like, just enough procrastination. My mate Neil and I sort of got out there one Saturday afternoon, and you know, started the Coogee Bay Hotel, run up the hill to the Royal, across to a couple of other pubs, the Dog, the Coachie, then down to the Chloe Hotel,
yeah.
Then back on the coast to the Pavilion.
Yeah.
And so stopping in, we started with middies, so we only had middies. Mm. So I think that'll quickly progress to schooners. But it took us about 50 minutes. So the course was plot. So we're certainly gonna build that one.
Yeah. So you ordered 6 beers within that time, drunk them.
Time starts when the first beer is put on the table at
the hotel,
and bang, down the hatch, and just the watch just stays on the whole time.
Okay.
So
have one beer at each.
One beer at each one. So you got to navigate the ordering process, the bar queues, that sort of stuff. So it's gonna get competitive one day.
The queues can be tough.
Well, it's gonna be a lot of tactics at play eventually when the time starts coming down.
Yeah, do you get some strange looks, like having?
Yeah, it was lobbed in. Two guys lobbing in, ordering a midi for start. Just it's pretty off. But let alone in their shorts and singlets on a Saturday afternoon, and everyone's trying to have a bet in the TAB.
Yeah,
that's unreal.
So that was good. Yeah, it was fun. So all that sort of stuff. Beer miles, like the Hertz has a beer mile every December, which, you know, there's about 80 of us that do it.
Really? 80?
It's massive.
Wow.
It's down at Rushcutters Bay, so you guys can come along next
Bloody
time.
Bloody oath.
Yeah, it's December, right?
Well organised. Yeah, our mate Timmy Lindop, he organises the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he buys all the beers, we just give him a bit of cash, and away we go. It's fantastic footage.
I've got a couple of logistical questions about this. So first of all, what's your beer mile time? What's your
7:28. Wow.
And it's bottles, yeah?
No. We have cans, only in the course of the grass.
Yep.
We don't want to sort of, you know, have any smash bottles.
But okay.
It's a 355 mil stubby, or whatever you call it. It could be a bottle or can, I think.
Yeah.
You can't shotgun it.
So no keys in the side of the can.
You can open it. The ideal temperature I've heard is out of the fridge for an hour, set in room temperature for an hour.
Okay.
So you can't have it too hot or too cold, otherwise.
Perfect.
Doesn't happen. Yeah, you either can't swallow it or your throat closes up.
And what's the can of choice? Like, what's easy to get down?
I think we had Furphy last year.
Furphy. Yeah. Okay. I don't mind that.
Miller Beer is, I think, the 355 is where it came from over in America.
Yeah, right.
Wow. So yeah, you sort of throw up or spray foam everywhere. You get another lap. You have to have another beer though.
If you throw up, do you have to have an extra one?
Extra lap? No, just have to do an extra lap.
Right. So, okay.
Your race is over, basically.
Yeah.
And so, out of 80 blokes who start that, how many guys don't throw up?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. Yeah, it's mainly the probably the first 10 don't throw up. I think the girls are there. Yeah, they're more classic to watch. The girls are just, yeah, they chunned a big time. Yeah. It's just the foam, basically. They don't just throw carrots. Yeah.
Is there a Chardonnay thing, or like you're allowed to drink cider, you have to drink beer? Yeah.
The 666, we're going to have a cider.
Okay.
Cider sort of division.
Is it going to become a weekly event, the 666?
Probably a monthly thing. Yeah. Instead of,
it's going to affect your long, it's going to affect your long run, isn't it, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. So we either do it Sunday or after the long run, or we sort of Saturday afternoon and hope that we don't kick on afterwards.
Yeah,
we're going to get out of the Shire. Yeah. This is sounding good.
You guys having a good time over there?
it's a bit of a balance. I think Greta's not going to like the fact that I'm talking about alcohol so much.
It's kind of our mantra, I guess.
Yeah.
You've found a safe place.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, well, we might wrap it up. Thanks very much for giving up your time today. We appreciate you travelling over here and sharing your story and passing on that valuable advice. I'm sure we'll see you at the finish line somewhere soon and we can have a beer together.
Yeah, all good. You're certainly welcome to come to our tent after the Scissor Surf.
Yep.
We're going to have someone stand there. So, yeah, by all means, man. Thanks for having us, guys.
All right, cool. See you. Fail.